Okay. Okay, Lewis. Lewis is going to come and talk to us, the changing face of mission. So just before you come, I'd like to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Lewis. Thank you for his story. Thank you from his first day, everywhere you've taken him and led him. Thank you for everything that he's learned about you and the way that you call us to you, wherever that may be. And just thank you that you've led him to here, today, right now. And for whatever your purpose, whatever your message is through Lewis to us, may we be ready for it. May our hearts be open to it. We just pray, Father, that you will speak through Lewis. You will speak to him and through him. We just ask that you will be the voice that we hear today. We ask that it will change our lives and it will change our hearts. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it is for me a real pleasure to come here to Hebron and to share a little bit of what the Lord has been doing in my life. To share a little bit also about what the Lord allowed me to see in some years that I've been traveling to different parts of the world. It has been a real blessing and an opening of my eyes. I was exposed to different cultures and people, and it has been really a blessing for me. When we try to see in the scriptures about the heart of the Lord in his vision, we know that his vision at heart is for all the nations. And when we see in the book of Acts how the Lord encouraged people and believers to go and preach the gospel throughout the world, we see that the disciples sometimes didn't get that vision, the same vision. And we can think on Peter, that he had problems to understand that the gospel needed to be preached among all the Gentiles. Do you remember that Peter had problems to believe that people known for a Jewish culture will receive the Holy Spirit and also receive all the grace of God and be saved and be part of God's family? That was a very difficult thing, it seems, for Peter. And he had problems even later on in his Christian life to be really bold to accept believers from the Gentile world. And that's why the Apostle Paul came to him and exhorted him. Paul didn't have that problem of understanding. He said that the gospel is the power of God to all men, for the Greek first, and for the Jewish, for everybody. We see that. And I think that the church sometimes hasn't changed from Peter's attitude sometimes. And we think that the gospel is only for ourselves, for our culture. And we should enjoy the comfort of being Christians, singing lovely songs and having fun together in camps and conferences. But easily we forget that the gospel is for everybody. And the church, when we read church history, we realize also that there was a time, or different times, that the church has had also this attitude. I'm sure you know about the missionary movement of the 19th century, where the churches here in the UK were reluctant to preach the gospel, to bring the gospel to the nations. And even they sang songs that would encourage the believers to stay home because this is where the Lord has placed us, you know. Job was sharing about this famous missionary who went, you know, to India, William Carey, and he brought the gospel. And it said it is known that William Carey would have a map and start to investigate all the countries, how many people were in each country, and how what religions were in those countries, and pray for them. He had a missionary vision to reach out the world, and thus he responded to God's call and he went to India, and the Lord used him tremendously. Since then, the gospel came from mainly the UK and America to other parts of the world for the same time, for the first time in many cases. You know, when I'm saying for the first time, I'm not saying that it was really for the first time, but because there were other through the history. But in a special way, there was a movement, you know, that brought the gospel into Asia, into Africa, and later on in Latin America. And of course, when people from here brought the gospel, of course, they brought also their culture, you know, their songs, their hymns, even the way they dress. They planted schools, hospitals, and churches. And that was amazing. The Lord really used your countries here in the UK to bless the world. What a privilege you have. And this is for me really so amazed. I'm a Peruvian. Being in the UK, in the land that the Lord used to bless my country, you know, what a privilege I have. But in the last years, and there are many reasons for that, globalization and within internet and all these kind of things. Financial crisis in countries, you know, have through history encouraged communities to travel to different parts of the world to get jobs and etc. And now I could say that missions, the face of missions, have changed, and it is really strange. And I can tell you a few examples for that. Imagine, my wife has a French father. She was born in Switzerland. Her father is French. Her mother is Italian. Her husband is Peruvian. And she got two Spanish kids. You know, you see, that's an example that now we live in a society that really is... everybody beats one another, it seems... missions, if there will be a phrase to summarize this, will be missions is from everywhere to everywhere now. You know, when I remember my wife studied at Belfast at the course TESOL to teach English. So when we went to serve the Lord in Spain, she was teaching a French person teaching Spaniards English with an Irish accent. You know, it seems so strange, so crazy. When we went to Spain, you know, to serve the Lord there, we were serving the Lord among a Latin American church mainly, you know, in Spain. You know, we were eating Ecuadorian, Bolivian, Peruvian food in Spain and serving the Lord there and planting a church there. It's really unbelievable. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience on the Logos too. I went on 1993 to serve the Lord on the Logos too. And we visited around, in my 2 years' time, around 37 countries. And for me, it was a tremendous experience. You know, we lived around 200 people with around 45 different nationalities. And we ate together. Unfortunately, no, there is an American here. I shouldn't say. our cook was an American brother who once prepared rice with pancake, and when I saw that, I thought inside there was vegetables or something in the pancakes, kind of, you know, but it was chocolate. I don't know, it was strange for me. It was very nice, this community living, you know, an international community living together and going into schools, prisons, hospitals. That was really amazing. On the ship would people from the Ministry of Education, of Culture, would come to the ship and say how great it was that a community would live together in peace. Even evangelical churches would tell us, it was in Argentina. We Argentinians, they told us, we speak the same language, we live in the same place, we are Christians. We have so many things in common, and we fight one another. Our churches are divided. We don't want to work with one another. We don't want to do missions helping one another, you know. And you are coming from 45 different nationalities. There were around 20 different denominations, and you are working together. So that was a lovely experience for me, to see different countries and different cultures, and I learned so much. And I want to tell you, when I went to Belfast, the Lord opened the door for me to study at Belfast Bible College. Let me tell you about my home church there, because the name of my church is Crescent Church. I don't know if you have heard about that church in Belfast. And for me, that church is a great example. Do you know what they do? They sponsor a student from other country to study at Belfast Bible College. So this student, afterwards, they go back to their homeland or another part to serve the Lord. You know, and even these students may not be from Brethren, or, you know, they are from different denominations. But they sponsor a student, and I have been one of them, and I know several of them. And here you are, how the face of mission has changed. He's a Peruvian fellow, married to a French. And we were commended by another Irish church to work in Spain. So that is how the face of mission has changed today. It is really encouraging to see that example of openness and to see that the people of God is not seeing what language, what nationality, what color of skin. You know, we are the church of God, one family. You know, one family, one body. And we need to think in this way. We need to think in this way. You know, maybe the Lord will send somebody from here, from Hebron, to another part of the world. Maybe a foreigner coming to this church, the Lord will call that person to go. Will we open to commend them and support them and praying for them? Certainly, the mission field has changed, you know. Now, the mission fields in the 19th century were Africa, Latin America, and Asia. But now, I think our concept of mission field has been revised. The mission field is where we are. I have a friend who has been a missionary in Peru for many years, but now he's back to Peru, and he's planting a church in Scotland. And we made a question to him: do you think you may go back to the mission field? We were thinking in Peru, you know. And he answered us, I am in the mission field. I am in the mission field. Because so many people are not being reached, you know, by the churches. And it is sometimes, and I'm not saying that this only happening here, but it happens in many parts of the world, in Peru. The way how we approach missions sometimes is thinking to bring the people into the church, you know. We try to invite people into our church programs, which is good, but easily we forget to go to where they are, you know. And they are in, I mean, just beside us in our neighborhoods, in the schools and in the hospitals, that we don't go to those places to share the gospel with them. You know, and it is very sad sometimes. My home church in Peru, that used to be, they still are having gospel meetings. You know, and nobody goes to a meeting like that, you know. Nobody, but they keep doing it. They keep preaching the gospel one another, you know. It will be so easy just to get tracts and go out. But we easily forget that the mission field, you know, is another thing. Now, the mission outreach, if it could be saying like that, also has changed. And more and more now in the way that what I can see is that now, what GLOW is doing, for example, you know, is sending teams from here to Europe, right? Which is great, and to different parts of the world. But now it's changing. Now there are people in the churches that they have planted in Europe that are being part of those GLOW teams, not only British people. Now there are French, Italians, Spaniards doing those teams, and some of them even going to different parts of the world, you know, like Africa. That's excellent. Now that globalization is making, I think, a great thing that we need to profit. I've been in the, recently in the Strasbourg conference. I don't know if you heard about that. It was the International Brethren conference. There were like 500 people from 80 different nationalities, I think, or 90 different nationalities. And what a privilege. I had the privilege of meeting 30 Spanish speakers. And you know, I had a dream while I was traveling around with the ship. I thought, Lord, I would love to learn from my brothers in Argentina, in Uruguay, in Brazil, you know, and different parts of the world. I would love to learn that. I would love to receive teams from them to help us. Teachers. So I share with them in this conference, what about if we meet all the 30 people and we encourage all the churches that speak Spanish to meet in a conference? So the Lord is opening this door, and we are getting so excited about this, because you can imagine that in these countries, in different countries that speak Spanish, they have Bible institutes, they have orphanages, they publish literature, they have children's work, but they are working on their own, recreating the wheel again, you know? And I say, wait a minute, what about if we get a conference where we can exchange teachers, teams, literature, experiences, you know? And God willing, we are meeting four of us through Skype. There is a guy from Spain. There is a director of missions of Emmaus University in the States. There is one of the brothers in Argentina. And myself, the four of us are meeting once a month in the last 5 months. Okay? We are meeting. We are praying together. We are preparing a conference, God willing, next year in Argentina, to encourage many leaders, elders, to come together and exchange experiences, teams, teachers, and everything. I think the face of mission has changed, isn't it? It's amazing. Now, my friend recently got a new iPhone, my friend from Switzerland, and he gave me his old iPhone, or whatever it's called this. And I've been talking to these four guys that I'm telling you around the world, and I've been talking to them through this, with Skype. And I was in Belfast. The face of mission has changed. Now, it's from everywhere to everywhere. In the beginning of the book of Acts, we see the mission started in Jerusalem, the capital of Judaism. And the book of Acts ends in the capital of the Gentile world, Rome. It's very encouraging that God always had the plan, you know, to go to all the nations. And He is doing it. If we don't go, He will bring the people to us. The challenge we have is to bring the gospel to all the nations. And when He says to all the nations, it means now that it is just crossing the street, you know. is tremendous how many opportunities we have now to do missions where we are and wherever we go. And listen, guys, I want to tell you one thing. I want to finish with this. I didn't prepare a sermon with three lines for this moment. I just want to share experiences, right? But one thing I've seen in different parts is that now the Greek language in the first century is your language. And you got a great responsibility here. Many people around the world want to learn English. You know? In the States, in Houston, just to give you an example, there is a church with 600 Latinos, mainly Argentinians, in Houston, America. And they are teaching English to the new Latinos who are coming to the States. They are teaching English. They are Latinos who know a little bit of English. They are teaching English to them. The non-Christians. And they are preaching the gospel to them. And this church has grown. There are 600 people reaching the community only with English. My wife learned English, as I said, to reach out Spaniards and in Peruvians now. No? Vary also has learned that teaching English as a second language is that, you know. You will have many opportunities, you know. What about, I have seen here there are many people from different parts of the world, and I'm sure there will be coming more. Like Polish people, I know there are many coming here. Is the church thinking on them? We can have missionary conferences. We can invite people from all over the world. But we have them here now. Is the church doing something for them? What about if you teach here English, if you go? I worked in Spain with the Red Cross. And I tried to help them to get jobs and etc. There is a great need if you see that there are more and more people coming. So that will be a great thing to do, just as a practical thing, you know, here in this place, to invite foreigners to learn English. I'm sure you know how to speak. Maybe somebody who will be able to teach it. Well, thank you. I just wanted to give you some to share with you some experiences. There are many, but thank you very much for your good listening and encourage you to keep on what this country has done for the world. To keep on, just take the post and keep it up, you know, go for it. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to mention about the lunch as well, Ferrari. Do you want to mention that?